There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
There is a light that can overcome the darkness. There is no darkness that can overcome the light.
Hello, my friend. It's Dan Riley reaching out to you again along with my friend Greg. And we each greet you with that beautiful, deep-felt sense of the mountain stillness. Often here we pray that line from Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Your heart might also, and always, or right now, carry within it that beautiful mantra, that sense of stillness, that longing for it, that welcoming it, that is really the stillness itself, the action of stillness, of calming our chaos, our crazy concerns, our real ones, and bringing peace to us enough that we can begin to see where we are. The readings on this Sunday, as I reflect with you, the book of Kings is that very story of Elijah up the mountain of God. And he's struggling with his life. It's very difficult. He's exhausted. And the Lord tells him to go outside, for me, very interesting instruction, and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and the Lord will be passing by. In that is so much, just that we could stop here and step outside ourselves. So often our life is contained or closed in, not only by buildings, but prejudices, worries, concerns. And there's this invitation to step out on a mountain that at least up until now, we haven't heard Elijah being here. So there's its own risk. Whatever the enclosure, the cover, the under his tent, or covered by his garb, Elijah and you and I are asked to step into a new place. Even as we seek quiet and stillness to calm our own chaos. And then that promise that the Lord will pass by. Just feel that promise now. You've come here maybe for a quiet moment, or maybe even for me, a bit of instruction. And my habit, hopefully, is one that is of your heart too, to open to stillness more than ideas, to wisdom rather than assembled thoughts, and let this all stir and swirl around us and bring us to peace. You might remember this passage from Kings 19, 11 to 13 that continues on with an earthquake and fire and a storm ripping through the place. It's just about all almost completely disassembled. And then after the fire, and each time Elijah stays covered, hidden, step back in a cave, waiting to hear the voice, waiting to experience the presence. Then after the fire was a tiny whispering sound, sometimes translated a quiet voice. Whether we call the sound a voice, the voice is a sound. It rises from our hearts and earth. It isn't first so much rational as an appeal, a calling out, a reaching to another, a reaching to God. And here that sound isn't just random, but with God's message and impetus, commissioning of Elijah to listen, this tiny whispering sound is for Elijah. It's a very beautiful passage. It continues on, but as I've been reflecting on the readings this Sunday, we hear that wonderful passage in Matthew. So if you're Christian or other and like to follow the readings, you might look at Matthew 14, 22 to 23, or you might not, because I'll just tell a little of the story. Jesus and his brothers, the disciples, women probably as well, have just left, having fed the people. And Jesus goes up on a mountain by himself to pray, and he sends his disciples off, go out, head out into the sea, and they're out a few miles. Things get stirring, as they will on an ocean, a sea, a lake, even a pond. It gets choppy, rocky, scary. They're there, feeling the chaos. Maybe somewhat like Elijah, or you or I. It can be a singularly lonely and scary place, a place where we don't feel anything about ourselves that can handle this moment. That moment becomes a doorway, my friend, to listen even more deeply, as Elijah did to the other sounds that weren't really what he was waiting for. Be still and know that I am God. It's a time of quieting, but also of quiet, active waiting, listening, becoming a deep listener, but a trusting listener, an expectant listener, a listener who is on the edge of delight even while listening because of the promise of God to speak to us.
Sacred stillness, deep still waters, calm the raging storms within my soul, and clear the waters of confusion. Let pure and peaceful waters flow. Sacred silence, holy ocean, gentle waters washing over me. Help me listen, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me.
Out in the sea with the disciples, they're frightened, and Jesus walks across the water, approaches, and says, "Take courage, it is I." And the great proclamation, "I am," of God, echoed especially in John's Gospel, coming forth on the mountain and the bush with Moses, is here in the reading, is here with you and me. Take courage. I am here. I am the one who is the God of peace amidst chaos, the one who calls us to a moment of strength rather than helplessness. And as he says, do not be afraid, the one who casts off our fears. Peter, who I love, and my confirmation name I may have said before, one of my patrons, is anxious to get going. And Jesus invites him out on the water. Come, he says. And Peter begins to walk, but right away he gets frightened. Or maybe not right away, but soon enough that we hear it quickly here, frightened. He begins to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretches out his hand, caught Peter. Now listen to that, I love it. Do we think of that often? He took him by the hand. He caught him, or maybe by the shoulder, maybe his hair on his head. Though I have none to be caught by. Somehow the Lord reached to him physically and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why have you doubted? Why do you doubt? Why did you?" Doubt here, the word means variation of a shifting and an uncertainty about our faith. It's not skepticism. And you and I know that that happens easily enough. It's not this modern skepticism, nor is here understood by scholars this sense of an incredible miracle of Jesus defying first himself gravity and then Peter defying gravity. No, the water for the biblical mind is the sign of chaos, and Jesus has entered it with us and the disciples, and now has called Peter further into it, onto it, promising that he can make it, that he can get up, held by the Lord, and make it. And the passage ends with all of the disciples doing him homage and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Whatever brought you to the mountain, you're in or on or by, or the cave, or your cloak over your head, whatever has you in this place of seeking stillness, so you might hear that quiet breathing breath, the loving God reaching to your heart right now. It arrives in a time of chaos in our country, in our world. It was only yesterday that Charlottesville, a beautiful city, became a site, a scene, a violent setting for hatreds being played out, and defenseless people, injured, hurt, and at least one killed. This is the world we are in. Elijah was not hiding from it. He has been a minister to it. He's drained, he's tired, he's exhausted, as you might be now or other times. This might be a quieter time for you, and you're thinking, "Dan, don't go there so darkly." But our world is there, and God is here. The one, the I am, with us on a turbulent ocean when you and I feel at sea, and lifting us and inviting us to have the faith, to hear the voice, to be the one who, like Elijah and the disciples, get up and go again. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still, America and the world, and know that the God of peace is in your heart. Know that I am you. You are me. And together we are the body of Christ. Be still and know. From Greg and I and the mountain community, in the midst of so many things, the Lord give you peace.
And I could change the world with my own two hands, make it a better place with my own two hands, make it a kinder place with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands. Now I could bring peace on earth with my own two hands. I could clean up the earth with my own two hands, and I could reach out to you with my own.